or destroyers are always running around, you know. And
protection.
Hear the ash cans go off. And right here, our ship, we had a, it was a luxury ship, the Monticello, that was taken over. And it held 6,000 troops. It was a big ship. And right near us was, it was the Texas battleship, I think.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah. And they had, I'm trying to think, and they had a plane that they'd, was on pontoons, and they'd land, and then they'd pull it up onto the ship. Yeah. And this plane would go out and look for shadows of submarines in the water.
That's something.
And that's what his job was, you know. And that's when he heard the destroyers running up and down and depositing these, you know, tin cans. Well, there were barrels, like with explosives. And they'd explode below the ground, below the water. But then, from Italy, the war with Germany ended. When it ended with Italy, I saw them when the Germans came in and made peace, you know. It was so funny, such a contrast, because their military was so precise, you know, really precise, you know. But yet they lost war. Anyway, you saw that. And then they took our outfit. We had 21 of us in, 19 men and 3 officers, and they shipped us to the Philippine Islands. Now, they had a point system. You had to have 85 points of discharge. I had 84. But you're not going. They were talking about lowering the point system or upping it, you know, and so forth. And so, anyway, next thing I found out, I was on a boat going, and we stopped at the Panama Canal for about 3 days. Mm-hmm. And after we got to around the Christmas Isles, the war with Japan ended, and we're going the wrong way. Well, they can't stop and bring it down. They would have dropped us off there, you know, at the Panama, probably, and then we'd gone to the States. But the ship we were on was a hospital boat that was bringing wounded back, you know, from the Philippines. So they had another recount. Before I got to the Philippines, I went up to 92 points. We're going the wrong way, you know. And when we got to the Philippines, they wanted to attach us here or there, you know, and they'd look at our points, we don't want you guys, you're all about ready to go home, you know. Mm-hmm. So we broke up then, and one of my friends, he didn't have as many years as I did, I know he went to the post office. He liked that. The post office worked too, you know, it was easy. But, what the heck I was going to say, I have 4 battle participation stars. And you had to be in the combat area in order to get them. Well, we were non-combat, but we were too small to have our cooking facilities. So they attached us to an ordnance company in Italy. And they were frontline ordnance. Anyway, when they left to go to Anzio, they left us some food for a while. And, you know, we wanted to get attached to an artillery outfit, you know, that was back of us. Oh, they're combat, you know. And then there was another outfit they wanted to attach us to. No, they're combat, so they wouldn't attach us to it. Well, the 36th Division, this is up around Caserta in that area, you know. And they were in battle there. And their frontline headquarters was in back of us. We were in an olive orchard. And they had a couple, they started out with 3 guns they had in caves in the mountains. They'd pull out and shoot them, put them back, and bring them back, you know. And you hear the shell going off, woo, you know. And then there were only 2, then there were 1. And this one would come out, and you could one of the fellows would look at his watch, put his helmet on, boom, bang, you know, and so he'd take his helmet off, go to reading. You know. But when we left, they pulled us back. And when we left, they, somebody coming there, one of the officers and some out to pick up a payroll, he forgot that we'd moved or wasn't told. And he went there. He said, "Boy, you guys lucky you're gone. If you're not there, you know, why?" Well, there's a big shell pocket where one of your tents stood. Mm. And one night, toward the end, I remember laying on my bunk, you know, the cot. We had cot there. At first, we slept on the ground. And I heard these shells go over, you know. And then this one, they kept coming closer. And see, there was a ammo dump in front of us and the gas dump in back of us.
Oh,
just a short distance, you know, within a quarter of a mile. And anyway, waiting for the other one. And when it came over, you could hear it go through the olive tree branches and you could hear it plow on the ground and it was a dud. You know, and nobody wants to look for it, you know, because what the hell, you're not going to walk around, you know. But at that time, I remember they used slave labor in Germany. And one out of every three or four shells was a dud. Mm. You know, that was their way of helping us.
All right, now, when did you come back?
In 19... See, I went in October 41, before the war started. And I came back November... 45.
Okay.
See, I left from New Jersey, and I came back to California. So I all, if the Suez Canal would have been open, I would have gone around the world, you know, really. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't open.
So you come back in November, Harry.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
What did you do?
Well, the first thing I did, I lived in warm weather for a long time, you know, and I came to visit my aunt, and I went going downtown, and I got as far as Citizen's Store, and where Citizen's had, and I bought some long johns, go back and put them on, I was so damn cold.
November,
Well, this is around Christmas.
Yeah, okay.
So then I went to school, and then Tom came along with this offer.
Yes. Tom Tyson.
Harry,
did you know Tommy before? I mean, were you...
Tom and I were friends when we were young teenagers.
Okay.
Yeah, for long years.
Was he also in World War II? So was he coming back about the same time?
Well, I guess he did.
I'd say he did, Harry.
Yeah.
About that time.
About the same time. But he was on Iwo Jima.
Iwo Jima, yes, he was. So this was a veterans type of school then that they offered, or what was it?
No, I went to a business college.
I had a
chance of going back to the state working, which is a pretty good offer. And I also was asked if I wanted to work for the VA, you know. And
all right, what's DA?
Veterans Association.
VA. Oh, VA. Yeah.
Sorry,
okay. Yep.
But I just
had enough.
First of all the moving you do, you're unsettled anyway, you know. It's hard to settle down. But see, I was in finance. Yeah, I was a staff sergeant. I was in finance.
So was the business school part of your military, or this was after you came back?
It was after, yeah.
And where was it?
Detroit.
Oh.
It was Detroit.
Wayne? In Wayne?
No. This is Detroit Business University. And I pulled a boner. I thought I was too old to spend 4 years in college, you know, and I should have gone to college. Mm-hmm. That's what I should have done. Mm-hmm. And if I would have gone to college, I would have gone to state.
And Harry, how long did you stay at the business school?
Well, probably 6 months.
Okay.
And then I left.
Mm-hmm. And come back?
Here, yeah. Came back here.
So that would have been 46. Roughly.
Yeah, that's 46. 1946.
When did you and Tom get together?
checked it out on April 46.
Okay.
Yeah. When we bought the farms.
What possessed you to buy the farms together? I mean, farm together. I mean, what?
What it was is this. He bought one side of the road and I bought the other.
Uh-huh.
And then because of machinery and so forth, we decided to farm together, knowing that someday we're going to split. So then we went into cattle. We fixed my barn up. We had all the cattle there. And then it's getting too small for two of us, you know. So he fixed his barn up, and we split the cattle. You know, we compare them.
I remember that.
And then draw cards or whatever it is, you know. And
where were these farms? You say they're on one side of the road. What's remember?
Near Gene.
Shaft Road. Okay. Shaft Road.
Where Tommy Tyson? Yeah, right.
Where Tommy Tyson?
Oh yeah.
Lived the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there he was across the road.
All right, the north where Sharon and Gail.
Got it.
Okay. All right. They were right across the road from each other. They farmed.
Well,
right
across the road.
Yeah.
And how many acres would have that been roughly?
Well, he had 200 and. Was it 20 or 40? And I had 200. I had 20 acres more than he did.
Okay.
That's the way it worked out. I had 260, you know, something like that.
And that was 1946.
Yeah, yeah.
And how long did you stay farming there?
Well, I got married. Tom got married, and then I got married. And my wife had allergies. You probably
yes,
know that.
Yes, I remember
you know.
That.
She had an awful time. And she went to a specialist. They tried to inoculate her, but every time they'd build up the serum, she'd backfire, you know, she'd react. So, like I said, you know, you can't go on that way. Sometimes she'd hang over a chair to breathe, you know, and she knew she always felt better there. Although we did toss around area like around Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, especially that area.
Mm-hmm.
But she never was quite, she had more congestion there too, you know. And so she tried it. This medicine didn't work. And I said, you know, not good, you know, can't go on like this. So she went down, got a job. And our medical expenses went down to nothing, you know, practically. And so then, a couple of years after that, I came.
That was in Clio?
Yeah, John was the one that took the farm.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Brother John.
Mm-hmm.
And then your dad bought the farm.
Yeah, through that.
Anyway, what I was going to say, I remember another thing that happened. My dad, Walter Tomosky, who lived across the road, his dad got a brand new set of young horses. So Walter, he was going into town and he wanted to know if my dad was going with him. So they went into Gaylord. Coming back, one of those big snowstorms, white out, you know, hit. And they stopped for the railroad track. At the BCG&A, you know, on Five Lake Road. I guess that's still called Five Lake Road. It's a Murner Road.
Yes, Murner.
Murner Road, yeah. And anyway, they stopped train, you know, and you couldn't see it. They couldn't hear anything. The wind was so terrific. And by gosh, the train came along and hit them, killed one of the horses. Either my dad or Walter got hurt or anything. They killed one of the horses. So then what they did, they left everything and they put stuff that they bought in town on the other horse and they walked home. But that was terrible.
Sad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember too, Phil, I got to tell a story about Harry and Tommy. I don't know who's the most innovative of you two, but remember when you built that kind of potato harvester kind of thing?
Yeah.
That was kind of a different kind of thing.
Well, Tom was the one that...
dug and brought them up on a roller, and people would ride on that thing and pick them like the big monorail was. And I don't know. That certainly was the first one in the county area. Certainly was.
It was you take out all the refuse.
Yeah, the vines.
And the potatoes were going to attack.
Yep.
Bushel basket.
I remember riding on that. I remember working on that.
Yeah. You remember the Fresh Hours? John Fresh Hour, Bob?
No,
that
I don't.
That bought what the heck is her name? On the corner, 32 turns, the lake on the right side. Pettifer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they bought the Pettifer Lake they were going to build off. Well, they put up a couple cabins. They wanted to start a camp for kids, but they just didn't have the money.
I don't know that name.
They got a chance to sell it. They sold it. I think they sold it to a church.
Yes.
The church owned it.
They sold it.
And Bob, he had a good job with some company. He traveled some. He was very intelligent. Well, John was too, but Bob especially. And he's killed in a plane accident. And John worked for Prudential Life Insurance Company. And I saw him last summer. They came over. We had lunch together. He wants to buy my car, but I'm still driving.
How old would he be?
Who, Bob?
Yeah.
He's younger than I am. He's in his 80s. Probably in his 80s,
I guess he'd have to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, they want a car to leave in Florida. In fact, he called me from Florida. I talked to him not too long, about a month or so ago.
Okay, Harry, how, Phil, the other question I want to ask here is, when he left the farm, you went into selling life insurance for...
I was Metropolitan.
Metropolitan, okay.
Well, first of all, I worked for the agricultural department, where Fox used to work.
I worked there.
And then I got this job selling life insurance. And then the guy that was the manager, he called me one day. He says they were transferring him, I guess where he's from, Kent County, where he was from, and I wanted to take over. I could take over. Then I looked at the pay scale, that I had, the potential. I didn't bother.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting.
This has a H. Widger right next to your dad's farm. Who was H. Widger?
That was, I think his name was Henry.
I
didn't know.
Right there.
Carl's
dead.
Yeah.
Okay, now there's another one.
Let's see. He would have been Carl's father. Carl's grandfather. Because Carl's dad was named Elvin.
Okay, see, that's this one right here.
His father was his grandfather.
Okay.
Didn't have
any
clue.
Carl's grandfather.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, Harry, you mentioned the Tomaski. Were they the ones who lived on the lake? Was that the Tomaski?
Yeah. Where they go, the real name is Tomaszewski. There's a Sylvester Tomaszewski. Yeah.
We know him quite well. You mentioned you went back to Poland.
Yeah.
Did you ever find the area of Poland that your family came from?
Not really. I went with a group. You didn't really have the time, and I wouldn't know where to hunt. I heard, look, I know they came, my dad, they came from around Krakow, someplace in that area.
Hmm.
Now, if you took a picture of Pope John Paul and had a picture of my dad, they look identical.
Really?
Really. There could be a relationship someplace there. But I forgot what my mother's, my grandmother's maiden name was. It's not his name, It's but there could be a relationship there someplace.
And you went to St. Mary's, the church. And what can you tell us about Monsignor?
He was a wonderful person. He was good. He was, let's put this way, he was kind. He had a heart. Very smart, very brilliant. If he met you today, and maybe 10 years from now, he met you on the street. Oh, yeah, I know you, you know. And
he was a very cooperative man, too. He would cooperate. Things worked together. I know I was on the school board, and when we worked, he and Tom Gill worked together. That's how we become the exemplary school. Had a lot to do with that relationship from Tom Gill with the public school.
Yeah.
He was just a wonderful man to cooperate and see, let programs work together. We can make them work together.
Yep.
Who are some other people that you remember that made quite a difference or quite an impression here in
Well, Foster Woodman. When I left Gaylord, he gave me his desk cigarette lighter. I still have that. It's well worn. It was worn pretty much when I got it, too, you know. And I remember him. Of course, I remember Glasser, you know. And
Norm Glasser at the bank?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember him.
And that's when it was here on the corner where the shoe store is.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, and of course, most of all the business people, you know, like Hardware, Brody's Hardware, Ford Hardware, you know, and...
Do you remember the Guggensburg store, hey?
Guggensburg store, yes, I remember him well.
I thought you might.
Yeah, and he was a senator. When I was in Lansing, I went to one of the sessions. You know,
really?
Yeah. Up in the balcony, watching him.
Perform.
Of course, there they had dignity. They had pride. Mm-hmm. They weren't out to cut each other's throat. Now, as far as the parties were concerned, they worked together.
The Democrats and the Republicans?
Right.
Uh-huh.
The Democrats and the Republicans worked for the good of the people. Now, they worked for the good of the party. There's a big difference.
Sure. Do you remember any of the doctors when you were here, or didn't you?
Oh, yeah, Dr. McKellop. He was our doctor. Heck, I never went to a doctor.
He wasn't the best doctor, Dr. McKellop. Dr.
Right, not
who was my
Peckham, yeah. Well, there were two different types of doctors, you know. But I see Dr. Peckham was primarily a surgeon.
That's all we had.
And he was Norrie's doctor, too. And he was also a practitioner, too. But I don't him telling me, you know, he performed a lot of surgery in Grayling. And he once said, people don't know it, but a lot of these people think their doctor performed the surgery, and I did. You know? Yeah, but he wouldn't, you know, take it away from... There were a lot of
two very good men. Very, very good.
There was a lot of ethics back then. A lot of ethics. That's something you don't see today, except maybe with older people. You know, today everybody's pretty much for himself. And now this condo that I live in, I'm the oldest one there, and we have 80 units. Two units. And two units to a building. There are 40 buildings. And I was the third one there, and I got one of the best locations. I back up the property that the cemetery owns for future development. They'll never develop in my time. What do they do? So I have a lot of birds, squirrels. I feed turkey during the summer. I have deer, I have seen fox, I have seen coyotes, you know, all back there.
Mm.
Yeah, I got my own private zoo. But I had this funny thing about the turkeys. A year before last, there was a group that came, you know, and I don't give them too much because you don't want to take their... nature of hunting for their own food, you know, but just to help them out. And like I think the DNA, when they feed them in the wintertime, it's a quarter of a cup per turkey per day, something like that, you know. Well, I didn't feed any more than that, you know. I have a little coffee can, this 13-ounce coffee can, and that said, anywhere from 15 turkeys and up, you know. But then this last spring, they went through once. I never saw that group again. But the turkey was coming. I thought maybe it was a male, you know. It was kicked out. It'd come every day. And then there were two of them.